Okay. I don't know. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos, and they said that that's how you're supposed to, like, sync up all these, all of the video and the audio. Oh, so we'll see if that works out.
You want, like, the clappers like they have in the Hollywood movies, like, before they shoot a scene? Yeah, closer. Yeah. Is that what you're trying to do?
What?
Like, you know, those, like, you know, okay, marker and then set action.
Oh, yeah. I think that might be what they use. It's like a weird little, because you see an audio spike.
Uh-huh.
And then you can sync that up with the camera's audio spike in post. So, yeah. Listen, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's all right. It's
okay, here we're back. We are back in, if you can see this, well, actually, I have something.
Oh, wow. That's something.
Yeah. So
didn't expect that.
So, if you guys can't tell, what I just did was I just exploded a party popper in our little room here, and it is everywhere. So, but the point of this is we are now on video. So if you want to go and see Mitch's reaction to that, you can go and go over to our YouTube channel and see what he looked like.
Wow, that was...
Wow, it... Yeah, you know, it really did go everywhere. Wow. That's kind of what I expected, but it did not disappoint, huh?
No, it didn't. Now I see why you wanted the vacuum out.
Okay. So, we're back.
Yep.
We're in Red Lodge, Montana, in our cozy little cabin here, and we had to record another episode.
Yep.
Now, I wanted to preface this first with letting everyone know that how we wanted to, or how I kind of wanted to position all these podcasts are, I do some brainstorming of just kind of topics that I think people could benefit from knowing, you know, getting from your perspective. You have a little thing.
What? Where? Oh, wow. Didn't even see that.
You had a little, one of those confetti things that came out of the party pop. Wow. Just sitting right on it. Do I have any on my head?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay, just sitting on his head. So... how I wanted to do this is so people can get kind of a full taste of what it's like to see someone in, or someone who is on the spectrum, you know, get their live reaction. Mm-hmm. Is, I don't tell you what these prompts are before.
Nope, not really.
Refused? Oh, God. Refused to tell you, actually. So, yeah. So what hopefully everyone is going to get out of this is kind of the live reaction. No script. I mean, I'm reading from a script, but your reactions are not scripted.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then with our setup here, you want to go ahead and give a little intro of, you know, what we're doing here?
I am Mitchell Sleep, and this is my brother Vincent Sleep, and welcome to the Autism Podcast.
We did not hold back on the expenditure of this set. So yeah. Even though I don't have money for rent, we do have a 3-camera setup.
Oh my gosh.
And we have lights. So if you're interested at all, I really wanted to make sure that we offer some sort of video interaction with this podcast so you can kind of, you know, see, look, feel Mitch's reactions, you know what, how he's emoting, how is he, you know, describing his emotions. So, So if you're interested in that, please hop over to the YouTube channel. It's probably going to be up in like 6 months because I have no idea how to edit this.
Okay.
But we'll figure it out. Okay. So this first topic, or I guess this whole topic of this episode, do you know what it's about?
No, I briefly looked at it. I didn't see the
whole. You looked at it?
I said I briefly saw it. It's just like...
Mitch, it's about love.
Love?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so the reason I wanted to talk about this first is I feel like the very first thought, at least that I have for someone who might have some sort of, you know, quote-unquote disability, is are they able to do... You can leave those. Those are...
Okay.
Those are,
sorry, just bothered me.
Is the very first thing that I kind of think about someone is, you know, are they able to achieve the same amount of happiness that perhaps I am? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you break happiness down, at least for me, kind of how I look at it is, you know, the first, I guess, characteristic that happiness could be is, you know, independence or self-efficacy, being able to go out and do things in life the way that you want to do them. I think that's a really big component of it. And maybe perhaps the second half of that, the major second half is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you able to have loving relationships either intimately or platonically, And that's kind of one I wanted to investigate on this episode.
Okay.
So when you hear the word love, what's the first thing you think of?
I know you said what's the first thing, but it's kind of many layers of love. If you think about it, it's just like you said, there's platonic love, there's intimate love, there's like distant love. It's kind of curious. I think it's just general well-being, general, like you care about that person's genuine well-being.
Sure.
And it's something that I think about, is like how much I actually care about this person. Like, I even tell some of my friends I love them just because, like, the relationships I have with them, and just because they look out for me and I look out for them. That's how I feel.
So what does it kind of mean to you? What does love mean to you?
I think it's just being cherished. I think that's one of the best words I can think of, is just saying, hey, I value you being here. And like, I'm not sure, in one of my favorite lines in music history is like Louis Armstrong sings "It's a Wonderful World." And one of the lines is people shaking hands saying, "How do you do?" And they're really saying, "I love you." And I thought, oh, that is such a deep.
That is cool.
Like, shaking hands is like saying, hey, I appreciate you being here. And like some people in the business world just saying, it's just a courtesy. I was like, it's a little more than that. Some people just wouldn't make that physical connection.
Okay. So I broke this into kind of three prongs. Okay. So one is your love for animals, which is something that's been ever since the kind of the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into family members and other things like that. But when I see someone, you know, I don't know if it's a proper way to say that, you know, with a disability, but I'll just say it for the sake of argument here. When I see someone who I have disability, I think what it's kind of universally looked upon that they are more drawn to like animals, right? Just like pets, those kind of things. They have some way, they have more of kind of like they just have a better relationship. They find more, like, they console in them more. They build a better relationship with them than perhaps other people do. So I wanted to ask you, is how would you compare your love for animals, you know, like our dogs, our dogs that we've had in the past, to someone you love, like one of your family members or someone in your inner circle?
Okay. So I always think that loving animals is a good step of building up a relationship with people, just a good starter point, just because animals, it's a require empathy. And that's a good way, it's a good thing to learn for autistic kids, because sometimes they don't really know how to emote empathy, in my experience, like right away, but they eventually develop it. Like you're saying, you got to be careful with this animal. Like when you're in a kindergarten, when a teacher or a kid brings an animal in, you got to be nice and careful with it. So in many ways, it's learning how to handle your emotions and what's the proper way to handle your emotions. And so I think the first part, I've always loved animals. It's a majority of them.
Why would you say that?
It's,
has there been an animal you haven't loved?
Certain cats. I've not had very good experience with cats. We had there was this woman who babysat us, in, was it Kemmer or
I'm not sure.
Or it was a woman that babysit, like, while our mother, she was a coach, in one of these places. And so we had my brother, my sister and me, we would go to her house and we would stay there until my mother's done. And then she'd pick us up. Anyway, she had this cat that just didn't like people. And anyway, I tried to pet the cat one time and it just scratched me and I just didn't. And I also found out I was allergic to cats that day. And I also had to take care of the cat a few years ago due to it attacking one of our cousins. And I had to take care of that animal.
Jesus, man.
What?
That went a little dark.
Okay, for full context, I didn't kill the cat, but I did.
Oh, you just like...
I had to relocate it. Let's just say that.
Okay. So, is there something about, you know, your relationship with an animal, your love for an animal that is different than, you know, you actually, I guess you already went over that, but is it just like a simpler kind of relationship, maybe?
I think so. It's like, animals are kind of easier to figure out than people.
Right.
Just because, like, you can get the basics of emotions from them. They're not super complicated, and they don't really try and they don't hide them as much. Like with dogs, we've had so many dogs, but I've loved every and each one of them just because, like, I know when they're happy, I know when they're sad. I try and
yeah, you know, I just thought of that point when I was writing this. I didn't think about it, but you know, when you're with when you're with another person or just a group of people, I wonder if there is a sense of, you know, you need to almost police yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to conduct yourself. You have to think of all the rules that you have to abide by to be around other people and do that properly. And with animals, they don't judge you. They don't even have the capacity to do so. So you just get to be so simply yourself, and you get to express yourself and your love for them perhaps so easily.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Like, well, we had some great dogs. Like, we had a West Highland Terrier named Otis. He was always a great dog. He was definitely one that was loved by everyone in the family. And unfortunately, we had the sudden shock of... He died all of a sudden after a vet appointment, and Dr. injected some sleep medicine, and it just stopped his heart. And I remember just feeling the impact of him just gone. Like,
yeah,
we even didn't get to say goodbye to him compared to, like, later on when other pets would die. But it was just such a shock to us, like death and not being.
How does that impact you when you lose an animal?
Oh,
are they all the same?
Oh, it's Otis was, it was all right. I was a lot younger. It was going to definitely be harder for a couple of others that we had to put down. Like, definitely the hardest ones were our two Scotty Yorkie mixes, Max and Lily. That was definitely a lot harder for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, they were there for 13 years. Like, that's a lot of time to bond. And, like, I was kind of the primary caregiver of both of them. And then, like, they both passed within a week of each other. So,
mm-hmm.
First was Max, and then it was Lily. And
you just, as soon as they were gone,
it's
did you feel a void?
Definitely. It was so hard. Even though my parents got a new dog, I don't want to compare her to, like, Max and Lily, but, like, that's their parents' dog. But Max and Lily were just special to me because I took care of them. I watched them whenever my parents were gone.
What's your favorite thing about dogs?
Oh, their ability to love, man. It's so deep. Like, I truly believe we don't deserve God. Don't deserve dogs just because, like, they don't judge. They're always happy. They just... Like, they'll always find a way to cheer you up, and they know when something's wrong. Like, it's that hidden instinct that they have. And when there were times when I was feeling really down, like really depressed about my life or like work, and Max and Lily would always just be there and they cheer me up. And it's just dogs just do that for me.
Okay. All right. Well, flipping the script from dogs to, you know, other people in your family,
mm-hmm.
Who would you say that you love? You don't have to say it by name, but just, you know, using like conceptually, what kind of people do you love? You mentioned friends even, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is it, obviously it's kind of your core inner circle, right? Which would just your closest
family. I'd say my family's definitely more core than everything else. The inner family, like my own inner family. Then it goes outer family, then friends, then like people I knew a long time ago.
And you love them to different degrees?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Like the inner family, it's like the, let me do it. Like less to more. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, so the people that I once knew is like, hey, I had a relationship with you guys. I mean, I'm still thinking about you now and then, but it's definitely a lot more casual. Like, my current friends, I always try, then, like, friends, and, like, they're the current friends and people that actually keep in contact with me. Like, outer friends, like, friends could also, like, include, like, your bosses, your fellow workers, people that you get to know and care for, and you always just make sure you check up on. But it's nothing like going over to their house and stuff like that. Sometimes it is, but you're not required to do that. So, but you definitely have, like, certainly some of my loyalty there. Then the outer circle of family, like extended family per se, you definitely you watch over them and you protect them and you definitely give them 100%. And it's nice and neat, and sure, sometimes they disappoint you.
Yeah, what does someone have to do to harm the level of love that you have for them? Is that possible? Or does it break trust and some other element, and then love stays constant?
It's kind of a difficult question. Like, I know, like, so the inner family, whatever, here's the thing about the inner family. Whatever you do, like, if it hurts me or you hurt someone else, I'll still support you whatsoever. So that bond is never broken. However, like, if you're the outer family and you do something like that, it's going to take some time to heal. Like,
if they do one thing to wrong you,
yeah,
does that, how, what kind,
well,
of,
well, if they do think? Something wrong, who wrongs me or my inner family, it's, they have, I believe in the three strike policy. Like, if, okay, like the three strike policy, as in baseball, if people are wondering, it's just three strikes and you're out. Like, I'll cut you out of my life. It's simple as that. I know,
just because you don't want that negative,
that negative influence. And if I figure I don't want that negative influence in my inner circle as well, I just don't want it to spread. And the inner family could probably, not saying that they do, but if they did do something like that, I definitely give them a chance 100% of the time. Compared to the outer family, they get like 70, like the three strike policy. If my friends do it, I give them usually two chances. If it happens a second time, then they're cut out.
Can they earn it back?
Yes, definitely earn it back. So that's like a removal of their strike. But it's still that, like, you know how it is. Like, your family can hurt you worse than your friends sometimes, just because they know you better and they know which buttons to push. So I'll remember it, but I'm not going to cut you out immediately.
And you draw a line when it comes to, you know, I think of the opponent squared. Whoops. Uh-huh. I think of the opponent squared in, like, love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that is a, you know, if they have positive intention but a negative outcome. So it's like a four quadrant kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first upper left is positive intent, positive outcome.
Uh-huh.
And then in the second to right cell is positive intent, negative outcome.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, it goes on. So if they had positive intent, but it, you know, maybe it didn't come out right, or they didn't know how to communicate their love properly, or, you know, they just flat out made a mistake, but they still had positive intent. Do you, mm-hmm, see that?
It's kind of hard. Like, I'm kind of those persons that's like saying, why they say that first? And then, like I say, I do go through the pros and negative, but if I see more negative than pros, then it's definitely a negative thing.
So you use pattern recognition to say whether or not what they said is true. You know, if they said it was an accident, they said it was a mistake, you'll go through and say, oh, well, was that, you know, is that the truth? Are they telling me that because they want me to believe that, or is that the truth?
Sometimes I have to hear it from them, why they're trying to do. Like, sometimes when I got punished by mom or dad, they said, this is the reason why we're doing it. And I say, okay, I can understand that. But sometimes, like, if your boss punishes you, like, say if your boss punishes you and you don't know what you did, and if they're just doing it to either help you or just doing it to spite you, which I have experienced, people spiting me just because they don't like what I think or what I say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely one of those things that I recognize.
So they probably need to go, as they would just for a normal person as well, I guess, is They need to go out to you, communicate, you know, what happened, maybe why they made a mistake, even apologize.
Yeah.
And then you can say, okay, you know what? Let's move past it.
Yeah, I'm willing to. I'm not one of those people that just saying that was then, and so if they worry about that, I tend to forget that stuff. I'll remember it, but I don't hold it against them anymore. That's okay. The thing.
That's a lesson learned for me too. Is if I think something's wrong, or if I think I did something wrong, I do need to explicitly communicate that with you.
Yeah.
You know, have a conversation, sit down, and you say you'd appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've done that a couple times with you guys. And I thought I said something funny, but it was actually very hurtful, and I didn't really know it was hurtful, so sometimes I had to apologize for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about the love... you know, any kind of key points for people who are in your inner circle, maybe how they develop, you develop your love for them. I also wanted to ask first too, is maybe in your inner circle, do you remember when, you know, I guess your first, like, I'm not kind of your love, affectionate love for somebody,
okay,
but your, when did you first love someone? Did you, and it was probably mom and dad right away, right?
Yeah.
Do you know when that was? When you said, wow, you know, I love my parents.
I think it was just at an early age, I almost think, just that loyalty. I didn't know what, I think it was, I always got confused with loyalty with love sometimes.
Okay.
So it's just always there. But then as you grew older, like say your elementary, I think elementary is when I really recognized how lucky I was to have parents, because you find out some kids don't have all their parents, or sometimes even their parents don't love them. It's we're just really blessed to have.
And you were able to see the contrast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That kind of gave you your spectrum of understanding.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
What was the first part of your question? I think I answered the second part.
I think that's what I was trying to get
okay.
to.
Okay. All right.
All right. Now, do you know what the last part of love is?
You're gonna have to probably tell me that.
It's like significant other kind of love.
Oh, okay.
Right. So this is such a core principle of, you know, everyone's understanding or core understanding of what love is. You know, being able to share your life with someone that you love.
Okay.
Whether it's, you know, obviously a component of it could be a dog or a pet, some sort of version of that. And then obviously your friends or your family is what our parents say.
Yeah.
You got your friends, maybe your extended family as well. And then you also have kind of your intimate love. Mm-hmm. So it's something with a significant other. So I wanted to kind of dissect this live with you.
Okay.
And I think this is the question you said you already saw is, okay, so what gender are you attracted to?
Males. I mean, sorry, females. I'm a male. I love females.
Okay, got it. Okay. Sorry. That's the part that you're prepping so hard and then you mess it up.
Gosh. I love women. All right.
Okay. So this question was brought up by a really good friend of mine. My business partner, which he's such a curious guy that his first reaction is, you know, can you share a life with someone?
Okay.
So we'll get to that question, but shout out to him. I also wanted to point this out. If anyone has any questions, I'm kind of like so far into my relationship with Mitch that I have a really hard time positioning my thinking in a way that could be beneficial for someone who doesn't know anything about him. I'm not really able to think outside the box because I've lived in the box my whole life. So if you have any questions or things that you'd like to have answered, reach out to us on social media or just, you know, Facebook, Instagram. We're on both of those. Mm-hmm. YouTube even. You can throw comments on there.
Yep.
That'd be super helpful. Okay. So I just wanted to throw that in there. But... is okay, so when you see a girl, let's say a pretty girl,
okay,
do you have a thought in your mind that says, wow, she's hot?
I would just say, she's pretty.
Okay.
Like,
so you do have like a, you know, when you see,
I definitely recognize like physical attraction.
Okay.
But then I get into the deep think. Like,
okay, so you have an initial like impulse.
Oh, it's right? Like saying, what are the chances that she's single and what are the chances? Okay, so
you get into math.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to know, like, just to figure out what she likes and what, Well, not like what she likes. And it's like, what are the chances that she's single? And then what are the chances, like, she wanted to go out with me? So then I just go through that. Usually, I don't jump on it initially. I don't want... It kind of takes me, like, maybe a couple days. Like, there was girls that I asked out in college, and I missed this. I swung and I missed. Let's just say that. I was just saying, take a couple days, figure out. And they say, hey... And then sometimes girls would just say no, and girls would...
So you have asked girls?
I have asked girls.
Walk me through one of the most traumatic experiences.
Traumatic? Gosh, dang. You're just trying to get these views, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. There was this one girl. She was in college history with me. She was pretty attractive. Had fairly short.
Her height?
Her height? Yeah, her height was fairly short.
Okay.
A little petite. So I try not to stare. Like, you know, that's the social thing. It's like, I don't stare. Like, I glance.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, she's pretty.
Okay.
Okay, so then I finally...
When you say you try not to stare, eye contact is a very... thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to make eye contact, but I don't want to be like... say a stalker who's just staring at a person like for hours and hours.
I can see why you wouldn't want to do that.
Exactly. I'm trying to balance out the, or like, I'm definitely interested in you.
Okay. Now do you do this thing? No, this is what I used to do back in my single days is okay. When you're attracted to someone is you kind of want to gauge their interest back.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what that eye contact is. So you keep kind of looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you do? Or are you just looking at them to try to understand your own emotions about them?
Mostly of what you just said there.
The first one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Try to see if they, you know, reciprocate.
Yeah, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, so.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we talked and she said, oh, do you want to, like.
Whoa. You skipped like 20 steps there.
What 20?
You saw each other. Class ended?
Yeah, class ended.
You passed her a note?
No.
Okay, so you went up to her after class ended, right?
Yep.
You just walked up to her.
Yep.
What was she doing? Was she like putting stuff in her backpack or is she?
Yeah, she was getting ready to leave.
Okay. And then you say,
hi, I'm Mitch. And then she was like, so-and-so. And I didn't invite her right then. So we just try and get to know each other.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to slow you down again.
What?
You say, hi, I'm Mitch.
Uh-huh.
She says, hi, I'm Janice.
Okay, we'll call her Janice for the sake. And then we just say, it's nice to meet you. And she said, mm-hmm.
Oh, she gave you an mm-hmm.
Yep. And I was like, okay. Okay. And
a little bit closer.
And it just...
And then you were like, hey, I
didn't invite her out then and
did
there.
Did you say she was pretty? Did you like, hey, I'm attracted to you? Or like, hey, this class sucks. Did you want to go to
Taco Bell? No, I didn't hate the class. It's just... she was pretty, and it's very nice to meet you. Like, we actually teamed up, like, a little before. We didn't really get to know each other.
Okay.
And anyway, so, like, the second time we met, like, we didn't get much out of the first interaction.
Okay.
I just trying to establish my presence. I exist.
Okay.
Okay, and then the second one,
you didn't tell me the part where she like blew you off. Did she blow you off or no?
The second one. It's coming up.
Oh, it's the same girl though, right?
Same girl.
Still Janice.
Janice. Like, so we go up again and say, so we've been going to class and I was wondering if you had a boyfriend. And she said, nope. And she said, okay. Well, I didn't like say it. Okay. Would you mind? Get some lunch together?
Okay.
Like, just keep it casual.
Okay.
She said, no. And I was like, oh, okay. So, that was a breakup. Later, however, like, so I see her again, and she's with another boy.
Okay.
So, she did have a boyfriend. So, I was like, oh, so she just lied to me.
Well, maybe they're just also not in a relationship yet.
No, they're kissing.
Mitch, these days, you don't have to be in a relationship
with someone. Okay, I know that. I know that, but I didn't pursue after that. I tend to take hints.
Did that like hurt your feelings at all?
I was like, meh.
Or is it just like, well,
the next struck one? Struck out.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
How did you learn to do that?
Like,
to approach them and talk to them? Were you nervous at all? Or you just like, hey, you know?
I was more curious. I wasn't afraid of getting rejected. I was more of them like doing something like really unpredictable, like say she just decides to hit me or something like that.
throat chopping.
Or something like.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
But that didn't discourage you from doing more or from like, you know.
Yeah.
Seeking out more. Have you ever been in love?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was my first and only girlfriend, so.
You've had a girlfriend?
Yeah. It was nice for a while.
How long did you have this girlfriend, and how old were you? How did it develop? Give me the whole story.
It was about 20 years.
20 years ago?
No, not. It was when I was 20. When you were, about 10 years
when
ago.
When you were 10 years old.
No, like 10 years ago.
10 years ago, so you were 20.
Yep. I was in, first year in college, and I met this girl.
What class?
It was theater.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Now, I'm trying to build this scene in my mind. Were you guys, like, on the stage? Like, because I'm thinking of, like, a movie.
Yeah, well, she.
Like, you guys, you just got off stage, and then she's going in, and then you bump into each other, and you're like, oh, hey.
No, no.
Good luck out there. Break a leg.
Well, we were on the stage, but it was like, so this is a theater production stage at the college. So she's sitting on one of the, I think it was a scaffold, maybe a, it was something for a different play. She was sitting down. I was over there, and I decided to talk to her. Like, we knew each other in high school. Like, we met, but we never really talked.
Oh, she went to high school. Okay.
Yeah. And so we just talked for a bit and. Kind of built a relationship right there.
What's the first conversation you guys had?
Oh, we just talked about movies. Talked about
how did you initiate it?
Oh, I just said hi, and she initiated, believe it or not. She
really?
She said hi to me, and I said, "Oh, hey." And it's like, well, we actually went to school together. I was like, "Oh, really?" And then I just talked a little bit, like just doing small talk and everything like that. And it's, so we just kept talking and talking. And then one day I asked you, you want to go see? Like, so it was, we were just talking about movies. And then I finally asked her, it's like, do you want to see a movie? Like, because she'd never seen like The Dark Knight.
I feel like you're good with those kind of conversations, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Especially when it comes to like, you know. Movies, mm-hmm. Specifically, like, oh, okay, yeah, oh, you like this movie, oh, okay, we can talk about this component of that movie, or this angle of that movie. Oh, hey, do you want to go to one? So that's kind of how you built it up and positioned it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And she was like...
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, so I took her on a date.
Whoa! Did you pick her up?
Or
did you just meet there at the movie?
I'm trying to figure out which movie it was. The Dark Knight one was, we watched it on DVD. We watched it at my parents' house because I was...
Were mom and dad there?
Yeah. What? No, they left.
Okay.
So it was just us. We had Lily there. Lily and Max there. Lily did not like her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are our dogs, by the way.
Yeah. So we watched the movie, and this was actually the... And then after the movie ended... We kissed.
You kissed?
Yeah.
On the mouth?
Yes, on the mouth. And it was interesting.
Okay, wait. Was it like when she got out, did you like open the door to the house and then she was about to go to her car? You say, wait, one more thing.
It was after the movie was over, actually.
Okay.
We were just talking, then all of a sudden we just kissed. It was just...
Did she kiss you or did you kiss her?
It was like it was like a hitch, like, you know, 75 me, 25% her.
Okay.
Yeah. No, wait, it's 75% her, then it's 25% me.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So how long did this occur? Did you go on multiple dates?
How long were you guys together? About, I'd say, 9 months.
No.
Yeah, I actually introduced her to the family.
Not me.
You were at a track meet.
Oh.
Yeah, so, yeah, probably I didn't... Tori saw her.
Okay.
Probably. But... So we did on multiple dates. She entered, like, one of our first official dates that we had was, like, I met her whole family. And she was Hispanic, by the way. So this is very typical of the Hispanic culture.
I found out.
So meet the whole family. So that was a little nerve-wracking. It's like, first date, meet the whole family. It's like, oh!
So you feel that nervousness.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, these are whole new people. And now I have to kind of structure around that.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mitch, I've never known any of this. Yeah. I mean, I know you had a thing. I didn't know, first of all, you were dating. And it's been a long time. And you kissed.
Yeah. And
but it's nothing.
It was all right. Well, the thing was, it was just not meant to be.
Yeah, so how did it end? Because my question here is, do you know heartbreak?
Definitely it was heartbreak. She wanted to get a little more physical in the relationship of sexual nature. And I wasn't willing to do that.
Why is that?
I know that I'm very old-fashioned when it comes to this, just because I believe you should have sexual relations after you get married, just because the bond is already established and you don't have to rely on the physical bond.
Okay.
Instead of like you're emotionally ready, then the physical part can come later.
Interesting. I really like that.
Yeah. And it's something I still believe to this day. But then after that, when I fully established that, it started to deteriorate right before my eyes, and it was hard to believe. And then one day,
she just engaged you, and you were like, hey, listen, I want to wait for my, you know, until
we were sure.
Yeah, until you're sure.
Yeah. And
she was like, I don't want that.
She didn't fully state that was the thing.
Okay.
So I didn't know what was wrong with her. So it just started until, like, we started seeing less, like, I'm with the forensics team during that time. So I'm on the road a bit and she's at the college. And so it was getting harder and harder. So, and then one day I'm in my room and I get a text from her. She says, we're breaking up. Like, she doesn't even tell me face to face to break up.
And how did you react?
It was hard. I definitely was pretty emotional.
Were you confused?
I asked why, and she just wouldn't respond after that. And
really?
To this day, I don't know why. I'm assuming it was because I wouldn't get sexually intimate with her. And she wanted to do that. And I made it very clear in the beginning of our relationship that I wasn't going to do that.
Okay. You guys just weren't looking for the right things.
Yeah. And it's,
or for the same thing, I should say.
I would say that.
Okay. How do you know you loved her?
It's kind of stung. Like, it's not always there, but I have that doubt now in my mind. Like, if I do see another girl, will they demand the same thing of me? And can I? It's very hard not to think about her when that happens. Like, what if they demand the same thing that she had? Am I willing to compromise my morals just to keep them happy? Even though it's something I deeply believe in.
You know, if I was to bring this problem up to you, and I was to say that there's someone in my past that, I mean, this is getting pretty personal now.
Okay.
Is if I was to say that there's someone in my past that's maybe inhibiting me or giving me a false sense of hope, or no, probably the opposite of that, is giving me a kind of almost a negative connotation to my outlook of love.
Uh-huh.
I think that you would give me a pep talk, and it would say something along the lines of, hey, it wasn't right for that person.
Mm-hmm.
The next one might be different or might be the same.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of waiting until you find someone who wants the same thing that you do.
Yeah.
At the right time.
I definitely believe in that.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Otherwise, I'd have to bank her out back and give you that pep talk.
Okay. Well, it's fine now. I'm very happy right now.
So, that's my question now. is, are you looking for... Actually, you know what? I'm going to back all the way up. Do you have a type?
Not really. You got to have good character. I think that's my only requirement. Like,
you don't have like a blonde, blue eyes, brown eyes criteria below 6'7".
I don't believe in like height. I don't believe in like height, race, or even religion. Sometimes, like,
sure,
if you're a very good person and it shows, I do believe you have to believe in my beliefs. Of I'm a Christian. Baptist Christian. So if you match one of the things is you have to be Christian and you got a good character. Those are probably my only two requirements.
Sure.
I just don't look skin deep. That's really what that's probably my only thing I have to say about when it comes to love, because I've dated Hispanic. I've dated.
Really? You've dated more than one person now, huh?
I've only dated one.
Okay. So you've dated a Hispanic woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what about you? I know you used to have a type, but did that sort of fade away with time or?
Totally.
Yeah. I feel that's what it's like. It's just if they got good character and.
Yeah. Well, for me, I was just an idiot.
Oh, okay.
I was just so stupid in high school. Mm-hmm. I had no concept of who I wanted to be, nor who I was. So I really had no idea. It wasn't until later in my life when, you know, I mean, just the blunt truth is that I experienced something traumatic, mm-hmm. to where I could rewrite my own understanding of myself and who I wanted to be, and then see how I can close the difference between those two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that mine has evolved. Now mine's evolved to a mature state where it's similar to yours.
Yeah.
I mean, I found my person, but you know, when I was searching for that, I really just reverse engineered the one thing that I want.
Yeah.
And it's like the, you know, someone who's going to make me better each day, who's going to love the perpetual improvement, mm-hmm. like the journey of life, falling in love with the journey rather than outcomes.
Yeah.
As soon as I found someone who had all of those same core fundamental beliefs, I was like, you know what? Game over.
Yeah. Oh, so like going briefly back. So are you friends with any of your exes?
All of them.
All of them.
Good. Yes.
So am I.
Nice. Wait, yeah. Really? You're friends with her?
Yeah. We patched it up after, like, we had our class reunion, I think, 2 years ago. Yeah, my high school reunion, we got to meet up and we did actually talk.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you. That's the best way to do it.
Yep. She's with someone right now and she says they take care of her. And it's just like, she did actually... say she's sorry she broke up that way.
Huh.
Yeah, so.
Good for her.
Yeah, well, she was young, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a huge thing.
Yeah.
You know. Okay.
Yeah, so. It is possible to be friends with your ex.
Oh, so. I totally believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, you were with them. If you were with them in the beginning for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Hopefully you were really good friends first. Because, I mean,
definitely.
That's hopefully the core of what you were looking for. And then other things beyond that. But yeah, I mean, everyone, for me anyway, they all have been awesome.
Yeah.
Do you feel a void right now since you don't have someone in your life?
No.
You don't?
Not really.
Why is that?
I'm very content with my life right now. Just feeling very peaceful with myself. I got my family close by with both my parents.
Do you feel pressured at all?
No.
Because we were the two bachelors for several years.
Yeah.
Everyone else in our family was married up and,
yep.
and we were the only ones left. And now I have someone. Does that pressure you at all?
Not really. I figure it'll happen, but it's just kind of hard.
Do you have an idea in your mind of how you think it's going to happen?
I might need to try online dating.
Okay. That's a question of mine.
Okay.
What do you think of dating apps?
You got to pick and choose your very careful ones. Just like we have, we had an uncle.
Have you done it before?
I've done it before.
No, you haven't.
I've done it, but I haven't paid
what?
For it.
Like Tinder?
Not Tinder.
Okay.
I haven't done Tinder.
Like something like Match or?
I've done Match.
eHarmony?
Yeah, eHarmony.
What is the other one? Farmers?
No, not Farmers. I'm not a farmer.
What is that one?
Farmers Only?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Farmers Only.
Yeah.
And we're from Wyoming, by the way, so that makes... I don't know if that's funny to you, but that might be more funny to us.
Hey, yeah, well, it's middle America, so...
Okay.
But I don't... I'm not against them. It's just certain things, like... I did have a bad experience with one, and it was weird. I can't say I fully trust them as much after that experience, but... let me be sure. It wasn't bad. It was just the woman that I was talking to. We talked for about 3 days.
Okay.
And
you went online. Look, you went online. You made a profile. You wrote a bio, uploaded pictures, all that stuff. You did that.
I did.
Really?
Yep.
You don't know the site?
It was such
it
was a long time ago. I don't really remember it. But
were you feeling lonely then? Or were you just curious?
I think it was just about, I'm trying to think, maybe 6 months after the breakup, I was talking to this girl online, and we were talking, and then all of a sudden she said she wanted to go to a certain site. If I go to a certain site, we could talk in person. Turns out this person was, she was a cam girl. Now, I didn't know what
you got hit with one of those messages, Mitch. The one that's like, click on my bio. I'm super in love with you.
No, like it was full conversation though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she was just reeling me in for views.
Okay.
And I was like, nope, I'm not doing this.
I think you got hit with a bot, Mitch.
I don't know. It was so interactive though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like real deep stuff.
They'll get you, Mitch.
Yeah. I was like, sheesh, you are really trying to get those views.
Do you know I did dating apps?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was
I fully thought that you were gonna like hate that idea.
I didn't, the whole distance, and then there's of course with all these shows coming out like Catfish and stuff like that, I was like, are you really who you think you are? Or you're,
well, my biggest fascination with dating apps has always been, I mean, it's a fundamental, I don't know what kind of bias it is, but it's like decision fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
So I was related to like toothpaste. If you go in front of the toothpaste aisles, there's just so many.
Yeah.
And back in the day, I kind of run these two in parallel, and because I think they share a lot of the same commonalities here, is, you know, if you only had two things of toothpaste on your, when you look at the aisle, it'd be so easy to choose one. But now that you have like 400, it's that same concept scaled to where, you know, if you're in a hometown, internet doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
There are five people likely that you could marry, possibly.
Oh, definitely.
And time is going to tell which one's like still available. So there's just so many constant. Why are you looking at the camera?
Sorry, I saw something outside the window.
Okay,
sorry. ADD. We both have it.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you just have so many options that then your mind does this weird thing that you then decide that you don't want to decide, or you'll want to wait for so long until every single thing is so perfect when. Likely that concept of the most perfect relationship that falls into place just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So that's what I've always thought with dating apps, is because you've turned your decision into five finite ones into unlimited, which it's so hard to make a decision within those bounds.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's my one warning to maybe anyone who's listening with dating apps.
Yeah.
If you're looking for that one thing, and no, people look for different things, which I totally get it. But if you're looking for love, I think that's something you really want to be cautious of, just like kind of in your own psyche.
Oh, definitely.
How will you know if you do find the one that they're the one?
You just know. Like, I know how weird it is. Like, they just know, and how vague that description is. Sorry, it's the neighbors.
Okay.
How vague that description is, but it just hits you. Like, it's just like...
Love at first sight? Do you believe in it?
I believe in love and physical attraction. Like, everybody says, oh, wow, she's beautiful, or wow, he's handsome, or something like that.
But, yeah.
But I think that the more you get to know that person, you definitely feel a bond of some sort.
Something that can go...
Go, like, this is a person I can spend the rest of my life with, essentially. That's it's just how I see it in some ways.
How do you think you developed your understanding of love, or maybe what you might want?
well, we have a perfect example, like, with mom and dad. It's just like, I mean, they've, both our parents, they were high school sweethearts, and I'll give like a little bio on them. Like they had me. My dad was 1 year in college, and my mom was a junior, and so they weren't married before they had relations. So, and as you know, like it's kind of easy to like just have a. Get a girl pregnant and then just leave her or just something like that. But no, my dad stepped up to the plate and decided to marry her. Mom was still pregnant, like in high school. And she also had to take care of me, like her senior year. So that was a lot difficult, but he still stood by and supported her. And to this day, they just keep building this relationship. They've had a lot of difficult times. Like there were times where it was hard to get money, and there was times like they had to do multiple jobs. So it was, I think just that going, I really believe this when you say you have to love your person in the good times and in the bad, when they're at their absolute best and when they're at absolute worst.
And you saw that kind of your whole childhood.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. That's such a, it's such a life hack, not just for someone who might be on the spectrum and maybe has a hard time developing an understanding of love. Certainly it helps more than not having this, even for like a normal person is, man, having an example that you've lived with day in, day out so that you can really get an appreciation for, I mean, both ends of the spectrum can give you appreciation and help you hone maybe what you're looking for, whether it's a love that's super terrible and it can teach you the lesson of what you don't want, or it can be super great, like which is what mom and dad has. I mean, they're just so in love.
Yeah.
And they've been so in love for so long and they want to share everything with each other. And that may be the most, you know, that might epitomize what love is supposed to be like.
Oh, definitely.
So us just growing, you know, growing up around it, like just via photosynthesis, via osmosis, you're just able to, you know, collect information of how you want to, you know, be in love and what your other person should be like or share the qualities of. I think that was just really, really special. So,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So this episode was about love, how you experience it. Mitch kissed a girl. Anything else you want to say to outros out?
And I want you to know that love is like how you define your own love. It's just, it's very, you don't have to have someone to keep you happy. I know we talked about stuff that saying, hey, you want to do this stuff with your significant other. And I'm still open to the option of having someone in my life. But it's okay if you don't, because sometimes it's keeping your own happiness is very important if you're not happy, how can you be sure that you're going to make that other person happy? So yeah, just build confidence in yourself. And if you feel very confident that you can keep yourself happy and you don't need anybody else, that's fine too. I just want them to know that being able to feel loved is one of the biggest things. To have love for yourself is definitely very important in moving on in life, because it's sometimes very hard to get love from others. So loving yourself is definitely important, and you showing love to others definitely impact and just spreads it around, as they say, pass it on.
I have absolutely nothing else to add. That was very well said.
Oh, thank you.
All right, this is Vince and Mitch, part of the... you do it.
The Autism Podcast, episode 3, and we'll hopefully be getting more episodes real soon. So thank you for your time and generosity. Have a great day, and have a good one.
Was that good?
Yep,
thanks, guys. Bye.
All right.